Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond here on KLBB. For our very final, last scheduled Flashback Twin Cities. Kyle, I know it's a tough one. Are you going to be able to make it through without the Kleenex?
I don't know. I don't know. It's going to be tough.
Well, we have a great guest to actually wrap up the show with today. Nancy Nelson, who many of you know from either many infomercials with Ron Popeil, from Channel 11's What's New to the WCCO Weather Girl. She's been in every aspect of broadcasting here in Minnesota, radio, TV, film, for a long time. I won't say a number because I'll let her do that. But she will be here. She's actually running slightly late, but we'll fill a few moments with some other fun tidbits before she gets here. I want to start off today's show with some audio. And through the course of 3 years of the show, the Metrodome and sports stadiums have taken a lot of time only because they've been hot topics the last 3 years. Building them, tearing them down, collapsing, taxes for funding them. I found this clip. This is going to be 34 years ago this week. And most of us remember the Metrodome collapse about 5 years ago, I think it's 4 or 5 years ago. The heavy snow collapsed the dome. Coincidentally enough, a couple of years before they tore it down. This was from November 20th, 1981, as reported on Channel 4. This was the first collapse of the Metro Dome. It had only been open for a few months. I think the Twins had their... Actually, I don't even think the Twins had even played there yet. This is a audio clip from CCO News.
And incidentally, the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodrome has faced its first weather challenge and flunked. Dale Dobish has a view of that deflated dome from high in the sky over the metropolitan Minneapolis area. Dale, what do you think?
Well, good morning, Bill. Well, it's not really a good morning, I guess, for dome fans. The dome deflated about 9 o'clock last night. This morning it remains completely flat. As you can see, the one panel on the north side is, tore out, actually. Stadium officials said apparently a defective dome panel gave away under the weight of all that snow and the high pressure. They tried to get rid of the problem by pumping more pressure. They inflated it to 1.5 times its normal, but still didn't take care of it, and the dome failed last night. So they're not sure of how long it's going to take to repair it or what the cost might be. And obviously, as we all know, it's still under construction, so I'm sure those costs will be contained in the... Otherwise, checking in traffic this morning, Bill, things are moving along quite well, although we are seeing quite a few red flashing lights and sanding.
Yeah, kind of a big pie in the sky that just falls down. I remember driving by there when the glass collapse happened and looking at the sky in Minneapolis with this big inflatable Michelin dome in the middle there, and then it was gone. And now we have our big billion-dollar stadium, which I know you're planning on being there every week, right there, Kyle?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is the home of the Green Bay Packers, though, so we shouldn't get so excited about these Viking stadiums, right?
Yeah, I'm just worried about, we get the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who goes, as long as it's not the Packers.
You know, as the home of the Packers here, we're going to have a lot of the KLBB audience is not going to like that comment. But
I know. I realize that, but...
Final show, we're on edge here. We can say all these opinions that are not necessarily the opinions of the management of KLBB. We'll let the sports show deal with the Packers issue. Our guest today is Nancy Nelson, and I actually have a little video biography that I can play here, and this is actually a very good introduction to Nancy. And when she comes in here after our break, we will ask Nancy a lot of questions about her time in broadcasting, her time doing a lot of different infomercials. If you don't know the name, you'll recognize the face or the voice. Those shows that would be on late at night or even midday, it'd be Hair in a Can, The Pasta Maker, a few ones she did. Tons of inventions, and she would connect with these hosts, and she'd be able to sell products all over the world, day and night. So this is from the Pavlik Museum of Broadcasting. Nancy actually was an inductee in 2009, and I was fortunate to be there. Actually, Stan was inducted the same year. This is Nancy Nelson, a biography from the Pavlik Museum.
Nancy Nelson was born and raised in Minneapolis, the only child of Willis and Florence Nelson. Nancy's first television appearance was at the age of 3, singing Goodnight Ladies on the Toby Prince Talent Show. She didn't win. While still in high school, she hosted a teenage dance show on KMSP-TV, Date with Dino. Working with Mel Jazz at WTCN, Nancy interviewed Don Stoltz at the Orlog Theater, resulting in nearly 2 decades on his professional stage. Other acting roles came her way, including the movie Airport, and Steven Spielberg's television series, Amazing Stories. WCCO-TV made Nancy the Saturday Night Weather Girl. Between Dave Moore's Bedtime News and Bill Carlson's This Must Be the Place. As Miss Minnesota, Nancy was first runner-up to Miss United States. In 1970, Nancy married the love of her life, WCCO's Bill Carlson. Their dear friend John Denver sang at their wedding. Nancy was hired to host and produce a daily talk show at WTCN-TV, What's New? Bill was her competitor in the same time slot. Accepting a news anchor position at KTTV in Los Angeles, Nancy commuted home weekly. Nominated for a number of Emmy Awards for anchoring and investigative reporting, she interviewed presidents and covered live space shuttle landings. Without regret, she turned down a news anchor position offered by Ted Turner at CNN. Los Angeles had taken note of Nancy, and over a dozen nationally syndicated shows were hers. She joined the staff of KABC Radio in Los Angeles, doing afternoon talk and entertainment coverage. Nancy covered the Academy Awards on the red carpet and the Pasadena Rose Parade for International Satellite. Working with the film companies in Hollywood, she interviewed everyone from Cary Grant to George Clooney and hundreds more. Producers of the new National Shop Television Network hired Nancy, where for the first time, she sold items on television. Infomercials began, and Nancy did one of the first in the United States. She went on to do nearly 100, to be named by the International Infomercial Association the best on-camera presenter in America, and by Forbes magazine, one of the top 10 television sales personalities in the nation. CBS News dubbed her the Queen of Infomercials.
It's Nancy Nelson.
Oh, it really is. Nancy Nelson, infomercial superstar.
Seen in nearly every country in the world, estimated at hundreds of times a day, her infomercial fame so significant that Saturday Night Live did a skit about it.
Oh, look, John! It's melting!
Yes, Nancy!
When Bill, a 2005 Hall of Fame inductee, lost his battle with cancer in 2008, they had been married nearly 38 years. In October 2009, Nancy celebrates 45 years on camera professionally and has no intention of slowing down. Grateful for the opportunities and joy that life and her career has offered, Nancy comments.
I know how lucky I've been. Mom and Dad always told me there is no such word as can't, and my Billy made me believe it. My entire life has been filled to the brim with glorious love and wonderful opportunity. It's been a remarkable adventure.
Thank you. Thank you. Good night.
She has more to come. Nancy will be with us. Let's take a break. And if she is not ready, we'll have some music, and then we'll come back with Nancy Nelson as soon as she's live in studio here on Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB.
Here's Stephanie, a patient of Dr. Matthew Feeblecorn at Health Source of Stillwater.
When I first came to Health Source, I met Dr. Matt, and he instantly found my problem areas, and I had been suffering with lower back pain since I was a teenager. As soon as I got working with Dr. Matt, it slowly started to go away. It's amazing. I saw like a 3-month transformation and how my posture just had changed, where I went from very hunched over to straight up, and I didn't even realize how bad it was until after I saw the photos and working with him.
Health Source of Stillwater. Do you Health Source?
Mom, Dad, Grandma's and Grandpa's Mills Fleet Farms Toyland is open. Get the top brands at low prices. Lego, Shopkins, Nerf, Fisher-Price, Avengers, Ertl, VTech, and more. Mills Fleet Farms Toyland is open. Hurry in for the best selection on the toys kids want for Christmas. Open a Mills Fleet Farms Fleet Rewards credit card account and save 10% off your first in-store credit card purchase. Subject to credit approval. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
You don't have to interrupt the game for a great game day meal. Remember Acapulco on game day. Call ahead and place your to-go order at any of our 8 locations. Go to acapulcomn.com, find your restaurant, and place your order. We'll have it ready for pickup before the game, so you can enjoy authentic Mexican cuisine from Acapulco Restaurante Mexicano, and you don't have to miss any of the game.
Taste the tradition, Acapulco Restaurante Mexicano.
We have a God who likes to do things off the beaten trail. Do you like things not exactly normal, just a little bit different? Well, this Sunday it'll be for you. Hello, this is Pastor Mike Carlson, St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Matamidi, Minnesota. And we invite you to listen to our broadcast this Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on AM 1220 KLBB Radio. We'll have over 300 high school singers and dancers. We will have a blessed worship experience, and we want you to be there. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you this Sunday at 9 a.m. live from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. Much more than I never knew, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful.
Thank you.
Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond here with the with Nancy Nelson, the one and only.
I just broke the radio station. I'm late. I got lost. I couldn't, I've never been to Stillwater before. And you sit me down. I grab the microphone. I just broke the radio station. The microphone is now dangling down here pathetically. But you had another one. Hi, Tom. How are you?
You know, and it's,
except all of my apologies. I'm so sorry. Terrible thing to do to you and your listeners. I'm so sorry.
No apologies necessary, because this is the final Flashback Twin Cities. So what better way to end up the show than to destroy the studio, to have a lot of dead air, and then to really, I mean, we've already got Kyle does not care for the flagship team of the station, and we've already got one mic down. So I think that the next 30-some minutes, we can do a lot more damage.
You know, Kyle, you were quite wonderful, because the engineers I've worked with through the years, first of all, would have seen me going to touch it and would have wanted to amputate one of my hands. And then when the microphone fell off, would now be in some form of a seizure. So I think you've handled my breaking the studio very, very well. Thank you.
Well, that's why we have backups.
Because of people like me.
We have backups here. And Nancy, you did live TV for a lot of years. Mm. Now, I'm guessing there had been some mishaps, especially back in the What's New days, because you did What's New live for, at some points, 2 hours a day sometimes?
Yes, 90 minutes. What's New was on for 11 years, Monday through Friday, from 11 to 12:30. Mm-hmm. And my husband, Billy Carlson, was on the air from 12 to 12:30 WCCO-TV. So we were one another's competitors. And we were live every single day for 90 minutes. And I love live. But then, of course, I worked on stage, too, mm-hmm. and you forgot your lines. The props didn't work.
Right.
There's something about live that makes you really do your job.
You've been part of these shows. They do Hollywood outtakes, or they do these things. Mm-hmm. You see the same scene being shot over and over again. I've done promos here where I've done the same line 15 times. I can't get it right. You go on live, the camera's on, the lights are on. The mistakes somehow seem, the adrenaline seems to come together, it works out, and you don't hear a lot of the flubs or a lot of the errors. You know, think of, you know, live news or news anchors, and again, doing, you know, right now, morning shows about 4 hours long now on some of our stations in town, but you did a lot of live TV. I have, and you know, thanks to you, I've seen a lot of your live TV in the videotape archive. Haven't seen a ton of mistakes.
I can't believe, of course, with your wonderful Twin Cities Media Now website, and I hope all of your listeners visit it regularly, and then I hope they all donate. Please tell me a lot of people donated on Give to the Max Thursday, because the work you're doing, and you just said you've been looking at a lot of my stuff. Well, that's fine, but you've been looking at a lot of the broadcast history of the Twin Cities for a very long time, and I constantly thank you for it. And I think that people care about it, not because they cared about the individual broadcaster, be it Pat Miles or Don Shelby or Dave Moore or Bill Carlson or myself, but because we, on television, went into your living rooms and into your kitchens and into your bedrooms every single day, the viewer honored us by making us part of their life. And that was a huge deal. And so as you uncover these people who aren't on the air or around anymore, and people watch them on your website, they are watching the memories of pieces of their life. And it's about them. And hanging on to their history.
And today I want to talk about your work, but I will just take a moment. I think that people get different things out of history. And what I want to do with TC Media Now is be able to recreate that half hour or that hour of history, and be able to have including all the commercials, including all the feelings, including everything that happened at that hour of time, to be able to relive that moment as best you can. Maybe not through a wood console TV with your family photographs on top of it, but through a computer screen. And that's what I hope to achieve. And again, thank you to the people who have supported, including the station management here, people that support me through the website, through Facebook, you know, people who are not throwing away their tapes away. The toughest thing, again, I've mentioned this before, and I'll say it again because it's the last show, and I'll say it three more times. Don't throw your pictures, your slides, your tapes away, because there's just so much history that's left to be there, and your garbage could be another treasure. You got into broadcasting here locally. You're a Minneapolis girl. Mm-hmm. You get into broadcasting on David Dino as a teenager. Now, that's a dream to be able to get on TV as someone, and we did your biography from the Paddock Museum before you came on today.
Oh, Charlie Boone narrated that. The wonderful, magnificent Charlie Boone from WCCO Radio, just now recovering from hip surgery. And Charlie was the best man in our wedding.
And we wish him well, and that voice, what a comforting voice, too, to hear Charlie's voice on...
Everything about Charlie Boone is comforting. He's one of the great people of the world.
How did you get, how did a young girl from Minneapolis get on this David Dino show? And this really was the kind of the launching pad to a long TV career here in Minneapolis-St. Paul.
You know, people say how lucky they were all the time, and that's clearly exactly what it was. Luck, luck, luck. Unbelievable. Astonishing. I was in second grade when my teacher, Dora Tochi, you don't forget people who changed your life, right? Miss Tochi had a school conference, as they did, with my mom and dad, and she said to my mother and dad, now, there's some issues with Nancy, and I think you should direct her in a certain way, or she's going to drive everyone crazy. And the first one, my dad already knew. I wouldn't ever stop talking. My dad used to say, you've got to be old enough to appreciate this. We used to have phonographs. We don't have phonographs. My dad used to say, Nance, you won't stop talking. You were vaccinated with a phonograph needle. Well, so Miss Tochi said, Nancy doesn't stop talking. And the other thing is, she's been given this gift of memory. She memorizes everything. We just had a class play. Four of the children were out with flu, cold, and Nancy said none of us should worry. She did all of the parts. And so I think you should send her down to Hazel Amott, A-A-M-O-D-T, another person who changed my life, at McPhail School, and give her drama lessons. And I went down one night a week after school, and Hazel gave me acting lessons. And you start with memorizing poems and interpreting them, and then very quickly, I was eight, she put me into a group she had called the Jack and Jill Players. It was junior high and high school kids. There were no little kids, but I was. And they got in a bus every weekend and went to a church, a school, a hospital that had requested that somebody come and give a play. And we would do plays. Hazel would, you know, direct them, and we had costumes. And so by the time I was 17, I had been acting on stage since I was 8, and absolutely loved it and just thought that's what everybody did. And it was a remarkable thing because I never had any stage fright. I think, Tom, and of course you're a performer, but I think a lot of people get stage fright because we're afraid of what you're going to think of us.
Right.
I was 8 years old. What do I know what you think of me? I'm just having a good time. So by the time I got to what you're going to think of me, and where stage fright would come in, I just couldn't wait to get out there.
This is, you know, and this is no deeper than anyone else, but I think that all too often we're always worried about what someone's going to think.
Sure.
We never do what's truly in our heart or what we really want to do because of what you might think of me if I do it.
Yeah, it always holds us back. So I was on stage for Hazel, doing lots of stuff in the school, talent shows and all that, and loving it. And I had decided, because this is what you can do when you're 17, when I graduated from high school, I was going to go to New York and be on Broadway. It wasn't try to be. I'm just going to go to New York and be on Broadway, because
that's what you do.
You're 17,
right.
And of course, they can't wait till you get there. I was hostessing at a Perkins Pancake House in St. Louis Park. Doesn't exist anymore, but it was the first one. And before, you know, they became a national franchise. And a regular used to come in all the time. His name was William A. Meyer. another person who changed my life. And, you know, they talk to you. What are you, little
right,
girl?
Right.
Well, I'm going to go to Broadway. And he'd smile and listen. And one day he came in and he said, you know what? Those plans of yours to go to Broadway aren't going to work out.
What do you mean?
I'm on my way into my senior year in high school. I'm between my junior and senior year in high school. He said, I'm producing a television show at Channel 9 Television. One of the owners there, Stu Schwartz, has given me an hour block, and it's going to be a local American bandstand. And I've already hired a local DJ named Dino Day. His name was George Murphy in real life. Yep. And I want you to be his sidekick. And I said, okay. I went home and I told my mom and dad I was going to be on television.
Now, did this gig pay money at this point?
I had to join. Channel 9 was AFTRA, Union American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. So, yes, I became an AFTRA member. And I was making $94 a week, AFTRA minimum wage. Now, at Perkins Pancake House, I was making $1.15 an hour, which was a step up from when I worked in the summertime at the A&W root beer stand where I made 65 cents an hour. So I'm getting 94 bucks an hour.
To be on TV.
Oh, right, I'm on TV. And it was so exciting and so remarkable and so much fun. My mother and father were remarkable people. Those of us who say that and mean it, we know how lucky we are to be able to say that. And they were something. And we went someplace not long after. My mother's driving me, right? Mm-hmm. I could drive, but my mom's driving me. So we went someplace regarding the television show, and it was an event. And we got there, and my mother went in with me. My mother was very, no, Nancy, you're doing this. I'll wait outside. She would never go backstage. She wasn't going to be a stage mother. But I wanted her to come in with me, and somebody said, Florence, you're Nancy Nelson's mother. And my mother, who had worked her entire life out of financial necessity, I came from a home where mothers worked in that day, and they didn't, but mom did. And my mother, with all of this integrity and strength she had as a woman of that time, just smiled and said, oh, no, Nancy is my daughter. And we were driving home, and I don't know if it was some behavior I had or attitude, because I was new into having my own TV show in high school. And my mother said, Nan, I have to tell you something, and I need you to remember it. I said, yeah. You know, what you do for your job is no more important than what I do or anybody else does for their job. The only difference is people watch you do your job. It's no more important, and it's no more special. I said, yeah, why? Yeah, you're right, Mom. But I can't tell you how many hundreds of times over my whole life I heard that sentence and saw her face saying that in my head, and how wise she was, because it takes us back to what you originally asked. How lucky could I get? Mm-hmm. I'm hostessing at a pancake house. I was prepared because I'd been on stage from the time I was 8 because I talked too much in school. And, then it's the kindness of amazing people who don't have to be kind. And it taught me to be a mentor and be kind. I had met at several functions during that big year. Several people, Bill Carlson, Mel Jazz. Mel Jazz. You got a good job.
I get a lot of requests for Mel Jazz video. The unfortunate part about early TV
it was
all live, and no one, there was no videotape rolling.
No.
So I've actually had requests for Dave Ferdino, Mel Jazz. I have a little bit of Mel Jazz.
We were all live on date with Dino, too.
From What's New and from other pieces, but the real humor of Mel Jazz, unfortunately, a lot of it's gone.
And he was extraordinary. You know, people would tease about him. He'd always say, you got a good job. And he did all of his live commercials during the matinee movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went off the air. I graduated on Wednesday, and the last show was Friday. I has been 2 days after high school graduation. And I had met Mel a few times. He was nice. Hey, kid. So there was a phone for Nancy Nelson. I picked up and, hello. I'm just going up here. Nance! Nancy! This is Mel Jass. What are you doing over there, kid?
Well, I'm packing my desk.
Well, you mean they're not keeping you? Tell you what, you come over here, you start doing my matinee movie with me on Monday. What? He didn't have to do that.
No.
He put me on the chair, on the couch next to him. And he, during the matinee movies, would interview people,
mm-hmm.
And then he'd do the live commercials. I learned everything I know about live television from watching Mel Jass. I stood there and I watched him, and he never had a thing in print. He knew his customer, he knew his commercial, he knew the product, and he would just start talking. And then you have a floor director who mm-hmm. stands next to the camera you're looking in. And the floor director would put up his 10 fingers and start to count down with his fingers until he got to the last one on the 10th finger, and then he'd go like that with his fist, and that's called button. He's so button it. And I would watch Mel B talking, and you would think, and he would watch that countdown, and the second Donnie Mittelstadt button, he stopped. And it was all in his head. And I watched, and it got to the point where I could do that. And I can't tell you what learning from Mel meant to me in my career, because I was doing live TV, and I ended up with a clock in my head. And by the time I got into the business, you know, bigger and, mm-hmm. and especially in Hollywood, I got hired so much because of Mel Jass, because they would hire studios for a day or a half a day, mm-hmm. and it's very expensive,
right.
especially in L.A. And I would come in, and I would do one take.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody would stand and look at each other, and they'd say, well, that's it, but we still have 6 hours in the studio. And
more.
I'm not telling you that because I was great. It's because of what I learned.
Right.
I learned a technique that nobody could teach and that doesn't even exist anymore. And the word got out that hire Nelson, she'll save you money.
Also, you obviously wanted to learn. I think that there's a challenge, I think, in as young adults, that they think, you did a show at Channel 9, someone could have gone, I know how to do TV. Don't tell me how to do TV.
Oh, no.
I didn't hear of it.
I still don't know how to do it. I still don't.
And by the way, and don't discount, because I think that luck and talent and attitude, all three of those, make positions and make
luck
careers.
Was luck. I certainly had the attitude from my mom and dad, and the kindness of them and my second grade teacher who put me into a public forum that allowed me to do that for a long time as a kid.
I don't think Mel Jass gets quite the credit he deserves in name
amazing.
Recognition in this town.
He was amazing.
He didn't, he wasn't around much after the videotape era. You know, once everything was on videotape and, some of those voiceover guys were in the backstage, you didn't see their faces anymore. He is in the Broadcast Hall of Fame. It's unfortunate.
I can't believe that. It bothers me so much.
No, he is in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, he is.
He is. What's unfortunate is there's just not enough video or much
no.
of his voice.
No.
I've unearthed some because he did some What's New announcing. And by the way, he can take any bit of copy in line and he can just make it
his
brilliant.
Own.
Exactly.
Yeah. And he never read copy, and so it was always his own. When you look back from this side of my life and how lucky I've been, truly, those people along the way who smile at you and say, mm-hmm. I'm in a spot where I could be of a little bit of help, so I'm going to do that. It is rarer and rarer, it seems to me, today. And it is to those people I owe everything I was ever able to do, the kind of life I was able to live, everything about my life, I owe to them.
The longevity of your career does not come without loyalty on your part. You were here. You did not go to Broadway. You stayed here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. You did what the Weather Girl at Channel 4. Now, if you've not heard of what the Weather Girl does, tell us what the Weather Girl did at Channel 4.
A man named Dick Stuck was a producer at WCCO-TV, and he was producing my husband, not my husband then, Bill Carlson's midday show. It eventually became All News, but before
it was
All
a variety
news,
show.
It was.
Midday.
It was midday.
For a long time.
Yeah. And Dave Moore, the brilliant, gentle, humble, remarkable Dave Moore at Channel 4, the renowned anchorman, iconic anchorman, used to do something that they would never let anchors do today because we have to take our, I say we because, of course, I became a news anchor, but we have to take ourselves terribly
exactly,
seriously.
Yes, right.
And if we don't take ourselves terribly seriously all the time, we can't possibly be serious about the news, right. Which, of course, is, but at any rate, that's, so Dave Moore was so brilliantly talented as a humorist and as a writer, he got the idea that he wanted to do on Saturday night something called the Bedtime News. And it was spelled
N-O-O-Z,
yeah,
right?
He wrote the card, Bedtime, N-E-W-Z, crossed it out, N-O-O-Z. And he simply recapped the week's news, obviously not the things where people were killed or burned up, but the
satire parody of the week.
So remarkably brilliant. And it was such a huge hit. And, of course, we only had three. We had the independent station, Channel 9, and then we had ABC, NBC, CBS. We didn't have cable. We didn't have all that. And on Saturday nights, it was really gaining steam. So CCO decided they should do something else with it. So they said to Bill, how about if you do a show called This Must Be the Place? And it was a local variety show.
Music, actors, comedy,
everybody
everything.
Who was in the business on a stage in a lounge, and we used to have lounge acts, and we don't anymore, all wanted to be on This Must Be the Place because they just come on and
plus the audience you had captured a third if not half the audience in town at
when they
time.
Put the when they put the, This Must Be the Place on after the Bedtime News, all of a sudden they had programming that was an hour and a half long. And it got to the point where, I mean, restaurateurs in town, people would talk about the fact that on Saturday night, things started to empty out because people went home to watch this, the news, the Bedtime News, and This Must Be the Place. And it was just huge. And all of the entertainers who would come through town, Melissa Manchester, they'd all say, hey, I want to go on Bill's show. So they'd finish their show over at the Orpheum Theater or something and come over and do This Must Be the Place live. Dick Stuck, the producer, said, you know, we've got this successful block. Let's do something else. And he had watched me at Channel 9 and called me and asked if I would come over and be the weather girl on Saturday night. Don't know what he's talking about, but my mom and dad always said, try everything. Never say no. Try everything. I said, yes. And he painted this great big, it was cloth. But it was the United States map on the floor, huge. And they had a boom camera. It's a camera that goes from the floor up on a big arm like this and then shoots down. We still use boom, but it was obviously pretty primitive. And I would come out and have the weather that was going on around the nation. And I had these discs that were like a blackboard. And I would write on the round disc that stood up in chalk, raining, tornado came through, whatever, and plunk it in Miami and plunk it in Nebraska and plunk it in San Francisco, wherever it was. And then I would stand in the middle of the map and start to talk about the weather, and I would walk all over the country, and then I'd go over there to San Francisco and say, and today it had a really hoo-hoo there. And the boom mic would be shooting me from above, and then the floor camera would follow me around the map and would shoot the disc that was sitting on the floor. So very quickly it became, I don't know the face, but the ankles are familiar because they were forever shooting this disc with, you know.
So you and Mary Tyler Moore both had your careers start the same way.
There you are. There you are.
I don't know the face, know the legs.
And being in the studio with Dave, I was, by that time, I was on stage at the Old Log Theater, one of those interviews that Mel Jass let me do just about 2 weeks out of high school, sitting with him, was Don Stoltz from the Old Log. And when the interview was over, Don said to me, have you ever acted? And I said, well, I've been with Hazel Amott and the Jackie Jill Players since I was 8 years old. He said, oh, well, I know Hazel, and I use her people, and come out and audition. And I did, and so about 2 weeks out of high school, I got my first job at the Old Log Theater and had to join my second union, Actors Equity. So that made me a two-union person, and I was so proud of that. And I would get off stage about 11 o'clock on Saturday night, and I'd hustle, and I'd get into the station about 11:40, and Dave would still be downstairs typing in this basement that looked like
the worst
basement in the world.
And I've seen video and photos of this.
Unbelievable.
Smoke-filled typewriter paper everywhere, but that was where news was happening.
And of course, it didn't look like, it was just, everything was squunched together. Mm-hmm. There was no cosmetic appeal about this. And there's Dave writing, "Hi, kid, how you doing?" Well, and he'd be writing, and Bud Crayling would have left the weather. At that time, the weather came in over a teletype that printed out, and it was on yellow sheets of paper, and he would tear the paper, and there would be this bundle of paper for Nancy that was weather from around the country, and I'd get into something, I'd get all spiffed up, and Dave would finish writing, and Dave would start doing the bedtime news, and I'd be over on the other side of the studio writing on my little blackboard things, and Bill Carlson would be down at the other end of the studio whispering, getting his guests ready for This Must Be the Place. So Dave would do bedtime news, I'd do the weather, and then Billy would do This Must Be the Place. So I'd stand there and I'd watch Dave, and I'd finish doing the weather, and then I'd stand and I'd watch Billy.
It's amazing also the piece, but first of all, what a great number of people to be around, great talented people.
17 years old, are you kidding me?
What a way, though, for women to be part of it, because women were not part of newsrooms unless they were doing things like Weather Girl. Think of the change in attitude and change in...
Now we all take it for granted, but when I was on the air at 11, doing my talk show, there was a wonderful news director named Gil Amundsen, became a dear friend and a wonderful human being. You know who Gil is, of course.
Yes.
Just one of the fine people that ever walked the earth.
And he should be in the Hall of Fame. And
yes,
and that's,
he should.
That's one
yes,
name that we
should.
Need to get in the Hall
his,
of Fame.
His beloved Shirley. And I kept saying to Gil, "Can I please do a news story? Can I please do a news story?" And Gil let me. And I went out, and he taught me step by step. I went out with a cameraman. And at that time, you were shooting film. And you'd actually have to wait until the film ran through all the juice and all of the processing room. And then you'd put the film on these big reels and run it through this kinescope. And then you'd cut the film where you wanted to edit. You'd physically cut the film. And Gil gave me that opportunity. And then little by little, we started reading some news in our noon show. And they brought a newsman in to do it. It was called What's New, this 11 to 12:30, and I groused long enough that Gil said, "Okay, you can read the news in your show."
And by the way, what people,
no women were doing that in town.
What
no
people
women.
Don't remember, by the way, What's New was on for 11 years. That is that's an eternity. Now, forgive me, in TV, TV time, that's an eternity to have a show on for 11 years. 11 years at many different time slots.
Yeah, many different time slots, and some of them not good.
The 5 a.m. one was one that I remember.
Yeah, that was, and that was right at the end. That was right at the end. For most of the years, we were on from 11 to 12:30, and then they started changing programming. And then I was lucky enough to get this offer to anchor news in Los Angeles. And... I decided to take it,
that could have been an easy decision to walk away from.
Terrible decision to make.
People, and you've known your whole life. You've been part of. You grew up in TV stations here in Minnesota and the theaters, and to go to, and you've been to LA many times, but not as a working professional adult. You had been there, doing interviews. Now I'm going to go and be part of this LA crowd.
Mm-hmm. There was a producer from KTTV in Los Angeles. And he was traveling the country with somebody, and he had come through our station and had seen me do the noon show, and then apparently, unbeknownst to me, just kind of started watching. And he decided that he was going to put together a 90-minute midday newscast with a lot of live on-location stuff, and he needed somebody who could think on their feet and all of that. So he contacted me and asked if I wanted the job, and of course I flew out, and we talked about it. I came back, and I said to Billy, "I can't do this. You're here, and I'm there." And Bill, typical of my Billy, he said, "Nance, I'm not making this decision for you, and I support whatever you do. But I think it's really important you consider it carefully, because you don't want to grow old with a what if.
Mm-hmm.
And being offered anchoring news in Los Angeles is a pretty big it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll figure it out. And I actually built into my contract that they had to buy me 2 airline tickets a month. Bill and I bought the other 2. We got a little dinky apartment, and I've anchored Monday through Friday, flew home every night, and flew back to work every Sunday night
that
for years.
Exciting and exhausting all at the same time.
I was young enough to do it, and there was no TSA. There was no strip search going through the airport. Now, are you kidding? I need a nap.
3 hours at the airport. Let's take a break. We have one more break to do. We have a lot to cover in Nancy's life here in 8 minutes when we come back. But we'll come back and talk more about Nancy
Why
Nelson.
Don't you talk about Twin Cities Media now, and I'll listen?
For 3 years, I did that. So we're going to talk about Nancy Nelson today.
Okay.
Flashback Twin Cities on KLEB.
You know what I like? A good spicy Irishman.
Ooh, and I love a strutting Tom.
Oh, what about Reuben or Rachel?
And how about that drunken Wilbur?
But you cannot forget about that stuffed Molly Malone, because those are just a few dishes at Pub 112 that are sure to snare the senses and subdue the appetite. And of course, after dinner, enjoy a nightcap at Molly Malone's Whiskey Lounge.
And of course, an Irish pub will have all your favorite beers on tap.
So here's to a long life.
And a merry one.
A quick death.
And an easy one.
A pretty girl.
And an honest one.
A cold beer.
And another one.
Pub 112 and Stillwater.
This fall in love with dance at Arthur Murray's Dance Centers. Arthur Murray's has been teaching the world to dance for over 100 years, so you can learn something new or get a refresher on the classics. Arthur Murray's professional instructors are certified in all areas of dance, including ballroom, foxtrot, and big band swing. They'll also help you choose a program that fits your goals and your busy schedule. This fall in love with dance at Arthur Murray's St. Paul location on Cathedral Hill. Visit arthurmurraystpaul.com.
Club 1220 KLBB presents the Community Calendar. Bethesda Lutheran Church in Invergrove Heights is having a holiday heritage boutique today. It runs until 3 o'clock. Season tickets are on sale for the 25th anniversary season of the Wildwood Artist Series. Visit wildwoodartistseries.com for more information. Tickets are on sale for the Christmas Harmony Show presented by the Croy Cordsman Chorus. It's on December 5th at Stillwater's Trinity Lutheran Church and at Oakdale's Guardian Angels Catholic Church. To order tickets, visit the website stcroixvalleychapter.com. West Emmanuel Lutheran Church in rural Osceola is having their annual Lutefisk Dinner and Fall Bazaar. It runs today until 7. On stage, Hudson High School presents the musical Mary Poppins at the high school auditorium tonight at 7 and Sunday at 2. The Lakeshore Players at White Bear Lake are presenting the musical Young Frankenstein. It's their final weekend. And that's the community calendar.
Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond with our guest Nancy Nelson. And we have to play a little commercial here, because this is one of my favorite commercials found from the Nancy Nelson archive. You may not like it, but we're going to play it. And then if you don't like it...
You know, a lot of women don't know how to drive. For freedom's sake, don't you owe it to yourself to learn to drive today at Montgomery Ward Driving School. Get behind the wheel training. All lessons are private, one instructor, one student. At Montgomery Ward, you get free pickup at home, work, or school. And cars are dual controlled and air conditioned for your comfort. Don't you owe it to yourself to learn to drive today. Call Montgomery Ward Driving School at 645-0307 or 647-2272 and use your Ward's charge. Call now.
Now, we assume...
A lot of women don't know how to drive.
We assume that they're learning to drive, not on the road, not knowing how to drive, right?
Well, you know, I hit the air in 1964. So, yeah. I'm really old, Tom. I'm really old.
I never reveal the years of these commercials. Here's one thing I want to say. I know we got a few things to talk about before the show.
What I want to be sure is that you get to say goodbye to this audience. You've been here for 3 some years, and you've decided that other pressures are taking you other directions, and you're leaving, and you're going to be missed.
It's the last regularly scheduled Flashback Twin Cities,
yes.
But the whole purpose of Flashback Twin Cities was to discuss media, culture, and history. That's still going to happen through tcmedianow.com. And again, if you enjoy the audio clips, you enjoy the stories, All of our shows are archived. You can access them through iTunes or through the website. The video clips I've been playing for 3 years, some many times, some not enough, are all accessed through tcmedianow.com. Tons of film, audio, video, everything you can imagine, processed through the fortune of our time right now in history to be able to digitize this material to preserve it. And that's what I want to do and what I've been fortunate enough to do in 3 years, people like Nancy.
What you have been able to do is volunteer all of your own time. When somebody calls and says, I have some film or some video, you drive to wherever they are, you load it, you schlep it, you take it home, you organize it, you sit up nights, you look through it yourself, you clean it up, you find money where none exists to get the equipment that can play it, you find money to get this stuff refurbished, and you're not on anybody's payroll. You do this because you care. You care enough about history that we all love, that you do this for absolutely nothing, the sheer love of it. And we have got to find a way where we can support you, Tom, because it's really important that you do it. And there have to be some dollars out there. People can go to Twin Cities Media now and give you $10 or $10 a month or something, can't they?
They can. And one of the purposes in ceasing the regular scheduled shows is I'm going to be out seeking ways to be able to do that. And again, it's not for personal enrichment. It's that we have so much material that's going to rot. And
Tom, but nobody today steps up to the plate and says, let me give all of my free time to doing something that I think is important, like saving history, that people will enjoy for generations to come, and you don't have to do anything for me, you don't have to pay me. Nobody does that, Tom. You are rare, and we are so lucky to have you. You are a treasure.
Now back to me for 1 second. I got to do one tough interview question. This is a tough one. How many devices do you have in your kitchen now? Do we have a pasta maker? Do we have a food
dehydrator?
Do you have a pocket fisherman in your car, so in case you go down the river?
All those shows I did for Ron Popeil.
You see a big fish, you know, jumping out in the lake. You can pull out your pocket fisherman. Do you have these products still? Are they still part of your life?
I have them all. The one that I still actually use is the George Foreman grill. But you've been in my house, and my beloved Billy gave me a Mother's Day gift 1 year that was quite appropriate, and it's a sign that still hangs in the kitchen. It says, I only have a kitchen because it came with the house. So I actually only cook at gunpoint or if you pay me for an infomercial to do it.
Well, either way, hopefully you've had more payouts than gun points to do these wonderful things. I think one of the best things, and I'm glad you enjoyed this, the parody SNL did on the Ron Popeil show. Not many people would take that in stride and enjoy that the way you did.
Hysterical.
I thought that was great.
I interviewed Helen Hunt just after that, and I walked into the room, and she threw her hands up to her face and said, oh, you hate me, don't you? I said, it was, who gets parodied on Saturday Night Live? What a deal. And it was pretty silly stuff I was doing, Tom.
It's come to the end. I want to thank everyone who's listened to the show, everyone from age 5 to 100 who's listened
thank
to our show.
Thank you for Tom Osmond.
Well, thank you for Nancy Nelson. Thank you for our listeners. Thank you for Dan Smith here at KLBB. Kyle, thank you. We'll see you again sometime. Flashback Twin Cities, KLBB.